Okay, thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us in a spiritual frame of mind to worship together. Let's open the scriptures, if you will, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Now, I do not apologize tonight like I did last week for being a little late tonight. We had a really wonderful event occur at our church Sunday morning, and Olivia, who is staying with your son close to here, and she found us on the computer, and I would like Olivia to stand up and give her name, where she's from, and what she does, please. We'll follow you.
I'm calling from Taiwan.
Taiwan.
My son studied in Texas University, but the subject is finance and accounting. And I teach in American University in Taiwan.
In the university in Taiwan?
Yeah.
Right.
And I teach education.
Okay.
So I want to add some Bible in my class. So this Sunday, because I don't have car here, my son has one, but he has to go to university. So I don't have car. I just bring to church. this church. And the first time I couldn't find this.
She walked up and down the street.
Thank God guide me to here. I love the
thank you very much. Olivia,
I will go back to
Taiwan Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, because this is Chinese New Year vacation.
So oh, okay. Chinese New Year vacation.
With my son. But I have to go back to Taiwan for my semester. Next semester will start.
When do classes start at the university?
Next week.
Next week, okay.
So,
Olivia, what is your last name?
Huang.
What? Oh, that's not too bad. That's not too difficult. Well, let me tell you.
Olivia is easy to remember, but in Chinese name, Yawen.
Yawen. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, Olivia, we're going to put you on our mailing list, our prayer list, on our prayer list. So we will be in prayer for you as you listen to the lessons on the internet. And Olivia has asked me if maybe sometime through Skype I can speak to her university class. And she said, I said, well, do they understand English? And she says, if you speak slow. So I will, I'm somewhat used to that in speaking in Africa. Because in Nigeria, Ghana, Liberia, I teach them and they speak English, but I have to speak slow, and so they're able to follow. So I'll be used to that. Very good. Good.
And he'll have a little Texan thrown in. Two words you might have to look up.
Put our students on the prayer list. And Olivia, I don't mind telling you. I don't know if you got to meet my wife. This is my wife. And we've already started plotting against you in prayer that somehow this will open up to some Christian preacher and we get a rapport and maybe get some mission work done with some Christian church there. And so that's what we're going the full 10 yards on this deal.
And in Taiwan, I had many chances to speech for a governess or every press, and all about my speech is for life and the stress management. So I only
content. Very good.
Can you openly teach the Bible in your university?
Private university.
Oh, you can?
I can.
Good.
And for the graduate school students, I teach the Bible under the lab. But the Bible, I co-teach with another professor. Education.
Very good. Very good. Olivia, thank you so much, and we're just going to be in prayer, and I look forward to a friendship with you, and that would be very, very good. So, look forward to it. So we'll just be in prayer that this will be the beginning of some many wonderful things opening up in Taiwan. And
then we decided that this was definitely a divine appointment.
Oh, absolutely. There's no accident. 5 minutes from here, and you went to the effort to walk up and down. And In fact, I was talking to you. I said, boy, what a brave woman to just come. And this isn't a church building. It's a group meeting in an office building. This is weird. And to come on in, and I remember Sunday morning, she was just leaning forward, looking at the PowerPoint and listening and looking, and I thought, man, she's right there. So that was just really wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the content is great. It's just great. Yeah. I want to get good content and share with my students.
Good. Well, we don't mean to overdose you, but we do want to give you as much as we can because you can carry it home, and it's cheaper than mailing it. And it doesn't take much space to give us some disc on just different things, and so that she feels like listening to something else sometime. Okay. What is your son's first name?
John.
Okay, well, we'll be in prayer for John.
Neil.
His name is, first name is Neil.
Here, everyone calls him Neil.
Neil. All right, well, God knows him by John or Neil, but we'll call him Neil. We'll call him Neil. Very good. We'll be in prayer for Neil. And I'm just so thankful that you persevered. You came on in. You found us. You came on in. And then God took over from there. That's really good. I appreciate that very much. That's wonderful. And then Trey and Christy brought us some friends. So we want to be in prayer. And he came up and said, hey, we're going to be back if you don't mind. I said, if you got $500, that's fine. So.
I joke.
Yes, and that was really wonderful, and I thought about doing it here, but I'm going to be really, really sneaky. Sunday morning, I'm going to have Chris and Lori and Jerry and Leslie tell y'all about the camp, because I had to leave Saturday afternoon and Dan had to leave Saturday afternoon. So Sunday morning, Jerry's sitting there. I'm not getting up there. But Leslie will. And just give their perspective. And Pat called me last night and said, Sunday night, some of the girls stayed up till past midnight just praying. And yeah, yeah, wow.
How many kids did you have?
There was a total of
16.
And they were just super kids.
Super. From our group or from the whole
group? Our group had 7.
Okay.
And they were just it was a super group, according to things that Pat told me. But we'll get a report on that Sunday morning, and that'll be good. Okay, let's talk about prayer. Olivia, the lady in front of you, has been fighting cancer for how many years?
5 years.
5 years. And we're in prayer that it'll go eventually continue to go away, and she's beating it. So
it shrunk this week. It shrunk an eighth of an inch all the way around.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You need to borrow more cigarettes and more candy.
More cigarettes, more candy. Olivia's looking at you like, what?
It's
not too late. It's not too late to change
the
will. Have him keep
it. Oh, that's funny.
The insurance is in their name now.
That's funny.
Yeah, and I feel good too.
Good.
So, yeah.
Good. All right. And, Sharon's son is in Afghanistan in the military. Iraq, excuse me. Yes, Iraq. He's in Iraq in the military, so he's on our prayer list. And the gentleman over there, Steve, he's just on prayer. He just needs prayer all the time.
Hey, Matt, it doesn't hurt. You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't hurt.
Maybe you can't be choosing.
So, any other prayer requests that we need to mention? Yeah.
We still remember Cindy and the family.
Cindy and the family, all right. We need to do that. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and then get into our study. Olivia, what we're doing, we're looking at where the dead go after they die, where people go after they die, and we're looking primarily at the underworld. We're looking at gee whiz. Anybody got a Phillips screwdriver? Here we go. And what we're looking at is it's called Sheol or Hades. Sheol or Hades, and we've looked at paradise. Paradise is the place where all of the souls of born-again believers of the Old Testament went when they died. It's also called Abraham's bosom. And when Jesus Christ resurrected and went into heaven, he took these souls at that point with him. Then there is a great gulf fixed between paradise and torments. Now, torments is where the soul of unbelievers, not only of the Old Testament, but all the way up to today, all the way through history, souls of unbelievers go to torments, and we've studied torments. Then the underneath torments is a place called Tartarus. T-A-R-T-A-R-U-S. And that's what we're looking at now. Tartarus is the place, Olivia, where the angels who were involved in Genesis 6 coming down and having sexual affairs with human women, flesh women, and putting on earth a super creature, half angel, half human. And God, because of that, and their whole purpose was to stop Jesus Christ from coming on earth as a pure human. That was Satan's attack in doing that. So in Genesis 6. So God confined all the angels, all the demons, all the fallen angels who participated in that. They assigned them, put them into captivity in Tartarus. Now the last place which we'll study after we finish Tartarus is the abyss. The abyss. This is where angels abide. And very select angels or demons are in the abyss. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and then move into our study.
Do you have an extra one of these to give to her?
You know what, I don't. Does anybody have an extra one? Oh, good. Good, I'll get you another one. All right. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father, to give us so much information. This book is amazing. The things that are lie here, things that we will never see in our lifetime, but things that are still here. And then those things that you do open our eyes to see, Father. We pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see, have us to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's begin our reading. We've made it up to Genesis 6, verse 5. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Not only for Olivia, but for all of us. Genesis 6, 1. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, Bana Ha Elohim, these are fallen angels. Genesis 6, verse 2. Now the sons of God, Bana Ha Elohim, saw that these are angels, these are fallen angels or demons, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. And boy, when the Bible says a woman is beautiful, she's beautiful. And they took wives for themselves, and the word to take gives the ideal of even violently. They took wives for themselves, whomever they chose, and many of them chose many wives, as we saw in our study of Zeus. Verse 3, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Now what this means is that while this was going on, there was more evangelism going on, and the Holy Spirit spread the gospel to so many every member of the human race, even these half creatures, half angel, half man creatures, heard the gospel, and all but eight said no. All right. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. 120 years of this repopulation of the earth and idolatry and all of the things going on with the between the demons and half women. Now the Nephilim, these are the super creatures that are half human, half supernatural angel. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they were born to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now in Greek mythology, remember what we've seen is mythology has Satan's story, the Bible has God's story. So mythology has some bearing of truth in it, but it's Satan telling the story. So Greek mythology, classical Greek mythology, tells the story of a lot of these super creatures, Hercules, Zeus, and all of these things. And the Bible calls them Nephilim. So verse 4, the Nephilim were on the earth those days and afterward, and when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, they bore children to them, and those were the mighty men who are of old and of renown. And we're looking right now at that renown aspect. Then we looked at verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Now, man doesn't mean male. Man means mankind. And right now, he's dealing with mankind in this passage. He's going to deal with the angels, but he's dealing with mankind. The Lord saw that the wickedness, and wickedness means anti-God, anti-God's plan of man was great. And when the Bible says the wickedness was great, you can count on it. It was great. That every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. No one is even thinking anything good. So all of this is going on. Now we took up, there were three major evil results during this time frame in history. First of all, there was the sexual attack, and we studied and noted some things about the sexual attack. Then secondly, we noted there was the intellectual attack. And we studied Apollo and just some various things that were intellectual. Great time of man's wisdom, man's intelligence. Great period of sexual revolt and intellectual. Then the third was sensational, miracle men. People like Hercules and things like that. And then we noted Abaddon, who is mentioned in Revelation 9, Beelzebub, who Christ had to contend with. And so all of this was going on. Now we're ready to resume tonight where we left off. This is right where we left off last week. So now let's pick it up tonight. God occasionally will directly heal a person in response to prayer. God will occasionally heal people. Now, let's go back to point three under Beelzebub. So, point three, Beelzebub is a demon in charge of undercover operations, sponsors activities to give credibility to Satan's human servants. Satan's human servants are easily identified as those who allege to perform miracles of healing. And that's what we're talking about here, because this is a period of great miraculous events, and healing has always attracted mankind. No one is healed by a miracle healer outside of the plan of God, but what we do have is that God will occasionally and often directly heal a person in response to prayer. But the great power in post-canon period of the church age, after the canon of scripture is completed, is the power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ only healed not to perform miracles in the sense of alleviating pain. He performed miracles to substantiate his identity as the promised Messiah, the promised prophet. He did not feed 5,000 people who were hungry. He fed 5,000 people who followed him. He healed a man at the pond. Why would he do that? If you have the ability, Jesus Christ could have said, everyone at the pond is healed. Not to do that. If that's why he came, if he came to heal and alleviate pain, then he's a fraud and he's a failure. Because he could have healed everyone at that pond. He healed one. Why one? Credentials, I am the promised Messiah. That brings us to sub-point four. Sub-point four. Beelzebub, B-E-L-Z-E-B-U-B, is the head of the great demon organization which practices miracles of healing. Let's open the Bible to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. 12. Matthew 12, verse 24. Matthew 12, 24. When the Pharisees, this is the religious crowd, the religious leaders of the Jews, heard it. They said about Jesus, he cast out demons only by Beelzebub, prince of demons. That's what they said. They're more concerned with demons than they are with the Son of God. They're more impressed with demons than they are with God's promised Messiah standing right before them. When Beelzebub orders demons who are causing illnesses, now listen, this is the point. When Beelzebub orders demons who are inside of a person, inside of a human being, there is instant healing of that body. If you can imagine, inside of a body is a virus. If you could take a magnet and pull out all that virus, the person's immediately well. All right, inside of humans, unbelievers. Only the unbeliever can be demon-possessed. Believers cannot be demon-possessed. So if demons are inside of a person, they act like a fool, crazy, all kinds of different actions. And when Beelzebub said, all you demons out, the demons came out and the person's normal again. Person's well. So therefore, the Pharisees ascribe to Jesus Christ that he's just doing this in the power of demonic power, not in the power of God. There are three categories of illnesses. Physiological, which are induced illnesses. Mentally induced, psychosomatic illnesses. And three, demon induced. Physiological, physically induced illnesses. Mentally induced, psychosomatic. And then illness induced by demons. So those are the three categories of illnesses that we have in the human race. Now I'd like you to look at Mark, the second gospel, Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And we're looking in Mark chapter 3 at verse 22. The scribes, another set of religious leaders, who came down from Jerusalem, were saying, he, Jesus Christ, is possessed by Beelzebub, a demon, and they know he's a demon, and he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So, rather than accredit Jesus Christ as the Son of God with this power, they would prefer to give the credit to demonic power. This is the way we're studying Sunday morning. We saw how the Calvinists have no problem saying God is the author of sin. They have no problem saying that. But they cannot have the free will of man coexisting with the sovereignty of God. I don't understand that kind of thinking. But that to them makes perfectly good sense. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. Just giving you the three references of this account. Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 verse 15. Luke 11 verse 15. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. So once again, we have the same story. It's just amazing. No, this isn't of God. This isn't the Son of God. This isn't the promised Messiah. This isn't the promised prophet. This is a demon. And he's doing all this in the power of the demon. So certain forms of demon possession causes illness. So that when the victim goes to a so-called divine healer who is working for Satan and Beelzebub, orders that he's the one in charge, even today, he's in charge. Beelzebub orders the demons to withdraw from that person. There is an instant and real cure. They are really cured. The demons are gone. Therefore, people think that the divine healer has great power and therefore must be from God. This is how even believers are led astray by all of this foolishness. So, this is what's going on. Any question in that respect? The system provides honor and credibility to servants of Satan who practice this healing art. There are some people who cast out demons out of people, and they do it in the name of Jesus Christ, but most are working with Satan. All right, point five. The saturation of evil on the earth at this time when the demons are interacting with the women of the earth. The saturation of evil was illustrated by violence, murder, rape, and human sacrifices. Sounds almost like today. They have nothing on Snapped. Okay. Let's take a few sub-points here. We're looking at this time frame. It's 120 years. It's filled with violence. It's filled with wickedness. It was illustrated by violence, murder, rape, and even human sacrifices. A. I'm going to give you some examples from mythology, Greek mythology. Don't be afraid of mythology, people. Remember that ancient Near Eastern mythology tells the story of the great battle in the prehistoric world between God and Satan and how God cast him into the deep. Well, mythology, the ancient Near Eastern mythology tells the story from Satan's view. And what is so interesting, I've told you this before, but what is so interesting is that so many different areas tell almost exactly the same story. That's not an accident. How could you have people in the ancient Near East? Here's an abstract drawing of the Mediterranean, and here's the Jordan. And here's Jerusalem, here's Galilee, and here's Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon. And they all tell of the story of the prehistoric world war between the great God and the one he created or something like that. They have different names. But they all tell basically the same story in mythology. And it's ancient Near Eastern. Near Eastern ancient mythology. And why is it the same? Because Satan's just telling the story. God tells the story. Satan tells the story. And Satan tells it where he wins sometimes. Sometimes he tells it where he doesn't win. I don't know what his deal is there, but he does. But this is what's going on in all of this. So let's take a look at some of these. A. Lycaon. Capital L-Y-K-A. O-N. You can look these up on the internet under Greek mythology. He was the king of Arcadia. A-R-C-A-D-I-A. When I spell things, I do not mean to insult anyone. I just know that I've heard lectures in church and college, and they say these things, and you ought to see the way I spelled it. And once in a while, I'd hit a letter correctly. But so that's why I do that. Okay, in case you wanted to look up and verify some of the things that we're looking at here. He was king of Arcadia, sacrificed his son, and then sat down and ate his corpse. He was demon-possessed. This is patterned after Chronos. C-H-R-O-N-O-S. That's where we get the word chronology. Chronos, who ate his children when they were born. B. King Pentheus. Capital P-E-N-T-H-E-U-S. K. King Pentheus of Thebes, T-H-E-B-E-S, was torn to pieces by the sorority of Dionysus, D-I-O-N-Y-S-U-S, D-I-O-N-Y-S-U-S, which included his wife. He was torn to pieces by the society, which included his wife, his mother, and his sister. I think he should have stayed away from the female members of his family. He should have just been hunting all the time. See, Atreus, capital A-T-R-I-U-S. And some of you may not care about this, and that's fine. I'm just giving you examples of this period that's quote, talked about in the Bible that lines up with mythology. All right? A-T-R-I-U-S. He was the king of Mycene, capital M-Y-C-E-N-A-E. Seduced the wife of his brother, Thyestes, capital T-H-Y-E-S-T-E-S, capital T-H-Y-E-S-T-E-S, whom he banished from the kingdom. There was just all kinds of things going on. That's all of this is covered in that verse that we just read, wickedness, great wickedness. This is what is wickedness to God. Great wickedness. All right. When his banished again. Now, when Thyestes, T-H-Y-E-S-T-E-S, was pardoned by his brother and allowed to return, Atreus invited him to a banquet in his palace. He sat down to eat. He was served two of his own sons, who were murdered and cooked for his convenience. When God says wickedness, people, he means wickedness. This isn't just kicking your dog when it's down. This is wicked, even though that is wicked. Right, Jerry? That's wicked. Yeah. D. Hercules. Hercules murdered his wife and children and was then forced to his 12 great labors. Now, that's part of their mythology. E. Adonis. Capital A-D-O-N-I-S, Adonis, was loved by both Aphrodite, A-P-H-R-O-D-I-T-E, parentheses, Venus, V-E-N-U-S, and Persephone, I may be mispronouncing this, capital P-E-R-S-E, P-H-O-N-E, Queen of Hades. Zeus settled the rivalry. This one man's loved by these two women. Zeus settled the rivalry by decreeing that Adonis should spend 1/2 a year with Venus above the earth, and 1/2 of the year with Persephone in Hades, below the earth. Da-da-da-da, how we got the seasons. This is the story of how we got seasons. Seasons. Four seasons. The seasons come, the seasons go. Get a little sunshine, rain, and snow. Famous words by George Jones. All right. The story was used to describe... Okay. For each year, Adonis must die and spend time with Persephone in Hades. Therefore, guess what? Human sacrifice was practiced to send him down, and then at the end of 6 months, human sacrifice to bring him back up. This human sacrifice, very, very famous. When Judith and I went to the Mayan ruins in Mexico, south of Cancun. They would have monuments of skulls, and they would chisel in skulls all in this whole monument, and they just dealt with a lot of sacrifices. And that big pyramid thing you see, that's all about sacrifices. They came to that only once or twice a year, and they did it for sacrifices. And this human sacrifice thing has been very much a part of Satan's whole chronology and whole way of thinking. F. Pember, P-E-M-B-E-R, in his book, Earth's Earliest Ages. You might want to pick it up sometime. I haven't read it. Pember, Earth's Earliest Ages, page 135. I remember years ago, when I traveled doing conferences and things, and I'd be on the plane, and maybe I'd be with Bill and Marianne, or with some other people, or maybe with no one. And they would say, "Do you have anything to read?" Because I'd pull out a book and start reading. And I'd say, "Yeah, let's see. I've got Earth's Earliest Ages. I've got some really weird book." And they go, "Thank you very much. We'll just look at the magazines." And Earth's Earliest Ages, page 135, quote, "And hence there sprang up a thick crop of frauds and fraud, F-R-A-U-D-S, frauds and assignments of open quarrels and violence, till the whole earth was filled with corruption and bloodshed," end quote. Just writing about this whole period of history. So, this is a true period of history, people. And God giving us a clue in just a few verses, and the ancient Greek, classical Greek mythology fills us in from Satan's view. That's why I believe, in fact, Dan and I were talking about it this weekend, I believe that Satan actually gave us some names of some of the demons. God gave us the names of some of the angels, Michael. So I think that Satan gave us the name of some of his head demons in all of this. So, and the Bible gives us some of them, like a Beelzebub, a Abaddon. So I think that Satan gives us some of the names of some of the demons. So high culture, remember, this was a period of high culture, high sexuality, high culture, and high miracles. Never prevents violence. Got to remember that. These things are never going to be without violence. G. Genesis 6:6. And you know what? I guess this will be a good place to stop, because then I want to talk all about it. Genesis 6:6. "Therefore the Lord himself repented that he made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart." What does it mean that God repented and grieved? Those are two very strong words given to God. That he repented and that he grieved. Two things that they said God did. So we need to take a closer look at this and find out. Then we're going to get to what he did with these demons and all of this, because Jim Langston wanted to know what happens to dead people, when people when they die. So I've enjoyed this study. It just caused me to go back and look up things that I had forgotten about or just put on the back burner. And so this may be more than you wanted to know, Jim, but we're covering it all. All right. Thank you. Would you repeat that again? All right. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God we worship. What an awesome God you are. That even demonic infiltration is not greater than you. We have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. If Earth survived that, if 8 people who believed in you followed that, survived that, we can survive whatever may happen in our personal lives, in our nation. It's what kind of God we have. You're so great, Father. And Father, we thank you for giving us hints of this information in your word. It explains so much about what's going on in the world, Greek mythology. It explains so many things, Father. What an awesome God you are. And Father, how grateful we are that when we die, we know that we are face to face with Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will take these things and have it just settle in our souls. How great is our God. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. I want to share with you one thing. Today, picked up my grandchildren from school, and they were talking about, they said, okay, do you know this? And we just went back and forth, but they said, you don't tell God how big the storms are in your life. You tell the storms how big God is. Now, that's pretty cool. All right. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. They're mine now.